Today's shiur is Lilui Nishmas of Yehuda Leiber of Shmuel. Today's shiur is Masechta Megillah Daf Chaf Dalet. We will begin in Mitzvah Shem on Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Beis at the Mishnah at the bottom of the Amud. Says the Mishnah, HaKarei B'Torah, somebody who reads from the Torah in the public, LaYifchais Mishloish Psukim. He should not read less than three Psukim. VaLaYokra Amatar, that every Aliyah has to have at least three psukim. In the time of Ezra and on, when they read the Torah publicly, they would also have a meturgamin, someone who would get up and translate what it says in the pasuk. The translation is what we know as targum unkelus, and the targum unkelus was said publicly for translation, and they, as we're going to learn the Gemara, that we want them to be able to properly understand what the Targumin said. And because of that, they were careful that a Targumin should only say the explanation of the Pasuk only one language at a time. So, of course, the Torah asks, why don't we still have that minig of having a Targumin? So the Torah, Arachayim Sim Kuf Mem Hei, explains that Targum Unkelus, we nowadays people don't understand Targum Unkelus. Because they don't understand Targum Unkelus, we don't have a Meturgamin say it in that language. So the question is, so why don't we have it said in the language that we understand? And the answer is that only Targum Unkelus, which as we've learned previously, was given Baruch HaKodesh, is a proper translation of the Torah, which should be said publicly. The translations that we have, Bizman Hazeh, even though they're certainly very worthwhile and very valuable, don't have the Kedusha and the Ruach HaKodesh that Targum Unkelus has, and therefore we don't say them publicly. Ubinavi, when it comes to reading Navi, which we read, as we discussed in our previous shiur, Shloisha. Also, we should, the person who's reading from the Navi should never read more than one plus three psukim at a time. And just like he reads three psukim, the Meturgamin says that the explanation of three psukim. And as Rashi explains, since Navi doesn't carry with it, it doesn't have all the mitzvahs that the Torah has, and therefore the concern that if somebody will misunderstand what is said there is not as serious, so they allowed that three psukim should be said. And as we discussed in our previous year, in the time of Antiochus, the king of Yavin, they made a gzera that Klai Yisrael may not study Torah Barabim. So in order that they should not completely forget everything that we learned, or were supposed to learn in the Parshas HaShavua, they started reading Haftarah every Shabbos, and the Haftarah has to have, as we learned in our previous year, 21 psukim, corresponding to the minimum amount of psukim there are in any kriya on Shabbos, 7 times 3, and that was in place instead of the kriya satayra barabim. And even when Baruch Hashem, that decree is no longer actual, they kept that halacha that you have to have. Yeah, we still read the Navi. Says the Mishnah further, Ha'i Shlosh and Shalosh Parshis, if the three psukim that are being read from Navi are from the three different parshis, Kaira Echad Echad. Since they're three different subject, so then the halacha is that they should be read each one from, the interpretation should be given for each one individually. And the Ran points out that not only when they are from three separate parashiyos does that apply, but as we just said, the reason when they're from three different parashiyos, they're interpreted each one individually is because like that, because if they're different subjects, they need to be interpreted separately to make sure that there's no mistake. So even if the three parashiyos, says the Ran, are from one parasha, but they all, so, but they're different subjects. So again, the concern that we just mentioned, there are three different issues, they may not be interpreted properly, applies as well when they're from three different subjects. Bedal Gemenovi, says the Mishnah, if somebody is reading Haftarah, reading Novi, the halacha is you could jump from one parasha to another parasha, then Bedal Gemenovi, but by reading from the Torah, we may not do so. And again, as Rashi explains, because there's a concern that once they start rolling the Sefer Torah, people are not going to be paying attention properly. So therefore, and in Sefer Torah, as we keep on repeating, there is such a great concern that everything be read and be said properly, that there should be no room for any misinterpretation. So that's why the halacha is that we don't do any of that type of rolling when we learn from a Sefer Torah to avoid that type of confusion. Ask the Gemara, Hani Shlosha Psukim, these three Psukim that we just discussed, which is the minimum amount of Aliyah Kenegad Mi, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Ami Kenegad Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim. They are Kenegad Nevi'im, the Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim. Furthermore, we learned in our Mishnah, La Yikol Metorgeman Yosem Pasak Echod, Ubenavi Shlosh Psukim. Vemahaya Shloshdon Shalosh Parshis, if the three Psukim of Navi are from the three different Parshis, Kaira Echad Lechad, they should be interpreted individually. Kagoin, says the Gemara, where do we find three different subjects? The Pasuk says, Kikai Omar Hashem, a Pasuk in Yeshaya, the Psukim in Yeshaya, Periknum Beis, Psukim Gimel Dal and Ahei, Kikai Omar Hashem, Hinam Nakatav Lebekesav Tegalu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us, we've been taken into Golus, and we will not be able to leave the Golus unless we do tshuva. The next pasuk says, "Kikar Hashem Lakim Mitzrayim Yor Ami Berushoina Logosham VaAg Asher BeEfes Hashaku." That the Klai Yisrael was in Golus and Mitzrayim was not for naught. They went to Mitzrayim because there was a hunger, but now we're in Golus and Asher, says the pasuk. That is because of our avarus. And the next pasuk says, "Vato Mali Poi Nu Hashem Kilokach." And the Pasuk is saying, why is Klal Yisrael left in this Golus? Because they were taken to Golus by these nations for no good reason, but they now are able to say, to look how powerful they are, that they were able to put Klal Yisrael into Golus, and nobody could save them from that Golus. We learned in the Mishnah Medalgam and Navi, when we're reading the Navi, we're allowed to roll from one parasha to another parasha, Vein Medalgam B'Torah. But we may not do so when it comes to reading the Torah. And as the Paiskin points out, that even if there's a situation where the Tzibur says that we'll be moichel on our covet, we'll forgive our covet, and we should be allowed to roll it, the halacha is that we may not do so in a Sefer Torah. The only time that it's done is if it's a Shabbos, we were reading from one Sefer Torah, and this shul doesn't have more than one Sefer Torah available. If the shul doesn't have one Sefer Torah available, and we're obligated to read from two different parishes, then we're allowed to roll. Vermini asked the Gemara, but when we learned Masechta Yuma, Daf Samech Chesam Abeis, and we spoke about the avoid of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, we learned Kaira Achre Mois, that by Mincha, the Kohen Gadol reads from Achre Mois, Vachkach Ach Ba'eser, and then afterwards he reads from Ach Ba'eser, Vakam Adalek, isn't he jumping from one parasha to another parasha? Answers the Gemara, Amar Abai Lo Kasha. If the amount of time, if the distance between the two parashas is not that great, and you could finish rolling before the Meturgeman said whatever he had to say, then you're allowed to roll a Sefer Torah. But if the time it will take to roll the Sefer Torah from where you're reading to the next place you want to read is longer than it would take the Meturgeman to read, you may not roll the Sefer Torah. Ask the Gemara, Valoktani, but doesn't the Brisa in explaining this halacha say, Vabadalgim and Novi, We're allowed to roll the Navi. We may not do so by the Sefer Torah. And furthermore, at Kamu Medalik, even by Navi, where we're learning that we're allowed to roll, Akadesh Lo Yusuf Katargaman, we're only allowed to roll that much that it shouldn't be that the Targaman should have finished saying what he has to say, and we're still rolling the Sefer Torah. Mechlal, doesn't this price seem to indicate that B'Torah, Klal Klaloi, that when we're reading from Sefer Torah, we never have the right to roll. Not like we just said that by Sefer Torah, under certain circumstances, we may roll. El Amar Rav Eloi Kasha. Kamen Yenechod, B'Kan B'Shtei Yonis. When the two subjects that we're reading about the Sefer Torah are the same subject, and as the Rishonim point out, there are two conditions that have to be met. One is that they have to be close to each other, Shlo Yifsuk HaMetorgamin, that we don't have any time that the Torgamin isn't saying anything. For if there would be such an amount of quiet time, there would be concern of Tirchad Tzibura. And also, the two subjects that we're rolling the Sefer Torah one to another are similar subjects. Because since they're similar subjects, the reason we said that by Sefer Torah we may not roll the Sefer Torah is because we're concerned that since every word of the Sefer Torah has to be properly paid attention to, if they're different subjects, you won't have that type of attention. But here, if they're both the same type of attention, therefore, you're allowed to, if they're the same subject, and they're also close to each other, even a Sefer Torah you're allowed to roll. V'tanya, and the Gemara quotes a Braisa to support this psak. B'dalgim Torah b'nyan echad. When we're reading from a Sefer Torah, we could go from one, we could roll from one subject to another subject. Or b'gnavi, by Navi we're allowed to even roll b'shnei inyanim. Kan v'kan, but whenever we're rolling, it's only allowed to be rolled b'chdei shlo yifsuk ha'togmen. The amount of there should never be such a large interruption that the people will be quiet and we're going to have the concern of Tirchad Tzibura. Tanya Yidach, but says the Gemara, we learned another Braisa, Ein Medalgim Navi V'Navi. We're not allowed to roll from one Navi to another Navi. And as the Aruch HaShulchan explains, every Navi had his unique language, unique way of expressing himself. And since, even though we're reading Navi, whereas we keep on repeating in our shir, the concern is not that great, but we are still concerned that we don't want to have a situation that because the expression and the articulation is so different, people will get confused. And therefore, Ein Medalgim Navi L'Navi, or B'Navi Shel Shnei Masor. The Sefer Trei Asor is a Sefer that has 12 Nevi'im, short Nevi'im, Hosea, Yoel, Amos, Avadia, Yoina, Micha, Nochum, Habakkuk, Tzvanya, Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi. Because they were short, they were all put in to one sefer. So, Menavi Shteim Elser, Medalik. You're allowed to go from one sefer to another sefer. However, Ovachla, Yidalik, Mesefer, Sefer, Tchilasai. We're not allowed to go backwards. We're allowed to go from one sefer to another sefer, but we're not allowed to go backwards within one sefer. Not a question that comes up. We're not allowed to go backwards in one sefer, but are we allowed to go from one sefer to another sefer in Trei Asor backwards? Some Rishonim say that we're allowed to go from one sefer to another sefer in Trei Asor in any direction that we want. But there's a machlok, the Kesef Mishnah says that the Mishnah means to say that this that we're saying we're not allowed to go backwards is only when we're going from one sefer to another sefer. So even though we're allowed to go from one sefer to another sefer, teaches us the Gemara, we may not go backwards in Trei Asor. But within one sefer, according to the Kesef Mishnah, we're allowed to go in any direction we want. The Magen Avraham disagrees. And the Magen Avraham says that even within one Navi, we're not allowed to go backwards. We only could go forwards. Says the Mishnah, Hamafta b'Navi, the person who is called up for Navi, who pirates al Shema. We discussed in our previous shir that if there were people that davened the Yechidus and they did not say Krishma, Baruch Hu, Krishma, Kedusha, B'Tzibur, if they gathered together, they may say it now. And says the Mishnah, that halacha, who is going to be the Pirus El Shema, is the person who gets Navi. And of course, the Ritva points out that the Maftir comes after Pirus El Shema. So he says, the Mishnah is teaching us that the person who gets the Haftirah is the one that gets the opportunity to do Pirus El Shema, and that's why he's mentioned first. So Rashi explains, but as we just said, we didn't yet do Haftirah. So Rashi says we're referring to an individual who we know will get Haftirah that day. So the person who's going to get Haftirah that day is the person that even before we get to that is the one that is Pirus Al Shema. However, there are Rishonim, the Ran, says that it means that sometimes they did Pirus Al Shema after Kriyas HaTorah, and then we could understand the Mishnah as it's written. V'hu Ayvel Lefnei HaTeva, he is the one that gets the opportunity to be the Baal Tefillah for Musaf. V'hu Naisei Eskapov, if he's a Kayin, he's the one that leads the Duchening. So the Ran explains that Hu Ayvel Lefnei HaTeva is that not there's two separate halachas. There's a halacha Pirus Al Shema, and there's a halacha of being the Shliach Tzibur. Two separate halachas, and how our Mishnah is speaking about both of those kibudim. So the Mishnah says, "Who knows this kapov?" So many Rishonim and Achronim ask the question that all Kohanim are the ones that are Noisei Kapeyim. So why does the Mishnah say that the person who is the one that got mafter, he's the one that's Pirus Al Shema? So Taisus Yontav answers that we learned that a katan, we're going to learn at the end of our Mishnah, that the katan, his father, his Rebbe, are the ones that go up in his behalf. That means if the katan got mafter, so he can't beat about tefillah, so his Rebbe or his father are the ones that are about tefillah. Says the Taisus Yontav, our Mishnah is teaching us that a katan does not go off for duchening, which is not accepted by everybody. Another explanation is that there was, the Taisus Yontav suggests, that there was one person who was the one who started from the Kohanim, who was the first one to start saying the Brichas Kohanim, and the one that got mafter gets that honor. Another pshat is that the Gemara says, the Tori Oven says this pshat, that the Gemara Masech the Soita, that Flamet Ches Omebeis, discusses if you have a city that is, you have a shul that's Kula Kahanim. So the halacha is that if you only have an exact minion, they all go up to Duchen. But if you have more than a minion of Kahanim, 10 of the Kahanim are the ones that go up to say in the Sias Kapayim, and the rest of the Kahanim stay in the seats. Says our Mishnah, says the Tori Evin, that the Kohan, that the Kohen who had Mafter will always be the one that will be from the 10 Kohanim that get the opportunity to go up to be Noisei Kapayim under such circumstances. The Meraim Seda explains that the Mishnah is coming to teach us that the way that they would do the Sias Kapayim is that one person would say, one of the Kohanim would say the Duchening, and everybody else would repeat for him. And that this Kayin was the one who did, who was nice, who had Mafter, was the Kayin that did so. However, the Beis HaLevi disagrees. And the Beis HaLevi says that the Aloch is, when it comes to Birkus Kohanim, the Aloch is that the Kohanim have to say the Birkus Kohanim b'kol rom, with a loud voice. Says the Beis HaLevi, included in the halacha that the Birkus Kohanim has to be said by Koram is that every Kohen has to say Birkus Kohanim for himself. And we can't have Shemei Kohanim by Birkus Kohanim. A vart that we said the other day from the Ragged Shover regarding the Seres Bnei Haman. I can be might see somebody else by saying a bracha with a concept that we often discuss, Shemei Kohanim. but I can't be mighty someone else with the by saying kol ram, and therefore every kohen has to say the nesias kapayim for himself, and therefore he disagrees with that pshat that the Maram Yisada just suggested. Vim cotton, if the one that got mafta was a cotton, of the rabbi over mel yaday, so he can't beat about tefillah, his father or his rebbe do it on his behalf. So the Rishonim discuss who is why can't the cotton beat about tefillah? Isn't the chiyuv of davening a chiyuv drabbanan, and the chiyuv of a cotton is also a chiyuv drabbanan? So why can't the cotton be mitzi? So Tosfos says that by a cotton there are two drabbanans. One is the actual tefillah's drabbanan, and his obligation is only midrabbanan because he's a cotton chinuch. Whereas a gadol who's davening has only one chiyuv, the chiyuv of tefillah, and therefore the cotton can be mitzi the gadol. Another pshat is the Ritfos pshat. The cotton doesn't have his own chiyuv. The chiyuv for a cotton to daven, for chinuch, emanates from his father. His father is obligated to be mechanachim. So a gadol has his own chiyuv to daven. A cotton's chiyuv is not his own chiyuv. A cotton's chiyuv is the chiyuv of his father. The Tori Evin gives another explanation. Tori Evin says that the Gemara Masech the Bracha says that a father is not mechuyiv, is not obligated to be mechanech's child in Kriya Shema because he's not there with the child all the time. So we see when it comes to davening, there may not be such a strong chiyiv chinuch, and therefore the cotton doesn't even have a drabonim. The question that's brought up is that the Gemara, the Tori Evin asks, the Gemara, in Masech the Baba Metzia, Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, says that if somebody is walking in the street and he finds Avedus Aviv, something that his father lost, Avedus Rabbi, and it's something that his Rebbe lost, and he doesn't have the ability to return both of them, what should he do? So the Gemara says, Avedus Rabbi Kaidim. He has to deal with the Aveda of his father, because Aviv Hevil Chaya Olam Hazeh, his father only brought him to Olam Hazeh, the rabbi Havir L'chaya Olam Haba. So as the Tori Evin, that even though there we see a Rebbe comes before a Talmud, regarding what we're discussing in our Gemara, where the father or the Rebbe will daven on his behalf, the father goes first. And he explains why. He says, the chiyuv of returning the Aveda is a chiyuv on the ben, on this person. So this person, the Gemara who found the Avedis, the Gemara Masechta Baba Metzia, says he has more of an obligation to his Rebbe, who we just said, Havia L'chayim Olam Haba, than to his father, who Havia L'chayim Olam Hazeh. Whereas the case of Av Mishnah is the obligation that the Av or the Rebbe have, and the obligation that a father has to his son is greater than the obligation that a Rebbe has to his Talmud, and therefore the father goes first. Cotton kaira b'tayra. Cotton can get an aliyah and read from the tayra. Umetargim, and can also be the metargim as we explained a moment ago. Ava ena paris shema. A cotton cannot be the one that leads paris l'shema. Veina oivel lefnei tevi. Cannot be the shliach tzibor. Veina noises kapov. He can't duchen. It's not a covered for the carbon, it's not a covered for the tzibur, that the kohen should be the one leading the nesias kapayim. So, the question that I saw Rav Moshe Soloveitchik Zatzal asks is that, why is the halacha that a kohen can be kohen b'tayra? We know that a kohen does not have the ability to be mitzi anybody. So if a kohen doesn't have an ability to be mitzi somebody, so how could the kohen read from the Torah and be mitzi the tzibur? So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik said that we have to understand that the chiyuv of kriyas haTorah is different than all other chiyuvim. The chiyuv of kriyas haTorah is not the chiyuv to read from the Torah. The chiyuv from the Torah is to hear the Torah, to listen to the words of the Torah. If the chiyuv is that I should listen to the words of the Torah, it doesn't make a difference who's reading from the Sefer Torah, if it's a cotton or a gadol. And therefore, the halacha is that even if it's a katan that's reading, but I hear the words of the Sefer Torah, I'm yoytzei the mitzvah. And therefore, he continues to say, l'halacha. The halacha is that if a shliach tzibur has in the tzibur an enemy, he can't be the shliach tzibur. Because an individual who has an enemy cannot be the individual who's might see the tzibur with their tefillah. Says Rav Moshe Soloveitchik Zatzal, that isn't the halacha by Kriyas HaTorah. If the Baal Kirei has an enemy amongst the tzibur, he could still be the Baal Kirei. Because the reason he explains is, because he's not being mitzi, the person that's listening. An enemy cannot be mitzi someone else. Here, it's not a question of being mitzi someone else. And since it's not a question of being mitzi someone else, anyone, even an enemy, could read the Sefer Torah, even though he has an enemy in the audience. Says the Mishnah, Paicheach, somebody whose feet are barefoot, Pirus Hashma can be Pirus Hashma Matargum. Avaina Kaira Batira, he may not be the one to read from the Sefer Torah. It's not a Kavra Torah. Ve'ena Oivel Fnei Teva. And he can't be the one to be the Baal Tefillah. Ve'ena Noisa Kapov. And he also cannot be the one to a Kayin to be the Duchen. So Rashi explains by Cheyach is that his clothing is torn and his feet are visible. And because that, it's as we just learned, it's not a covet. Therefore, most Rishonim explain that someone who doesn't wear sacks cannot be in this position. Why can it be Pirus HaShema? Because Pirus HaShema did not involve, explains Duran, somebody that would go to the Omid and be Pirus HaShema. To have somebody who's in the status of Pecheach go to the Omid and Davin is inappropriate. But somebody who just is Pirus HaShema from where he's standing, that isn't an issue. The Ritva has a different explanation. He says that Pirus HaShema is not done on a regular basis. As we keep on explaining, Pirus HaShema was only done in a situation where we had the 10 people who Davin B'Yechidus are now joined together. So since it's not something that happens on a very regular basis, the halacha is he could be Pirus HaShema. But having somebody who is the Baal Tefillah, which happens by every Tefillah, we cannot have a Pecheach. The Miri gives a different explanation. He says, Oivel Fnei Teva means that we have a Tzibur. We have a large Tzibur joining together. And that is inappropriate, should be a Pecheach leading the Tefillah in such a status. But Pirus HaShema, as we keep on explaining, is something that happens infrequently. And it doesn't have a large group. It happens to be these 10 people. That's where we could be more lenient. Cyrus Summa Pirus HaShema, a person who Rahman Slon is blind, could be Pirus HaShema. Umetargim, Rav Yudai Mekosher Loi Ra Iris Miyamov, somebody who was never able to see, he was blind from when he was born, cannot be Pirus HaShema, because one of the brachas is Yotza Ma'iris, and a person who's blind, obviously, cannot say Yotza Ma'iris, because he is blind. The question is, but don't we have a rule that Sumer is part of Mikol HaMitzvahs? So the Tori Evan says that even though a Sumer is part of Mikol HaMitzvahs, Tosfos asked the question, he's not the same as a cotton. Midrabbanan is chayiv. And I saw that Tori Evan explains what does Tosfos mean. What Tosfos means to say is that a cotton is not in the category of an individual who's mechuyiv in these mitzvahs. A suma is an individual who is in the category that could do a mitzvah. The only problem is he can't see. That doesn't mean that he's not in the category. And since he's not in the category, he could say what the Mishnah allows him to say. So our Mishnah said that the one that gets mafter is Pirus HaShema v'Oivel Fnei HaTeva. My Tama, what's the reason that the person who got mafter gets all these privileges? Rapapa, I'm a Mishnah covered. So Rapapa says the reason is that for covered. That, and Rashi explains, getting mafter was not considered a covet, because you don't read from the actual Sefer Torah. So this person who is willing to accept to be the Baal Mafter, that is the reason we give him these other kibudim as well. Repapa Mishum Kovid, Rabbi Basima Mishum Dosulan Tsuya. Chazal were concerned that the Baal Mafter will be upset, that the Baal Mafter doesn't get paid for what he's doing, and the Shlich Tzibur does get paid for what he's doing. So in order to compensate him, is we gave him these other kibudim. My benayu, asked him, what's the nafkamina between these two pshatim? Says the Gemara, if the Shlich Tzibur is not getting paid. So the reason of Asul and Tzuyei doesn't apply. But if the reason is because of COVID, that he had to take something which is not considered a COVID, that's the reason that he should take it. So we know that the minig is that somebody who has yartzeit gets mafter. And our Gemara just explained that mafter is not considered such a big honor. So why are we specifically giving it to the person who has yartzeit? So the Sefer Minig Yisrael Torah explains that we know that when somebody gets mafter, so with the mafter are many brachas, and amongst the brachas is the bracha of tzidduk hadin, and that's why it's a schus for the nifter. So here we see that covid is something to take into consideration. The Shailos HaTshuvos Pinyan Olam discusses if there is an individual who could be both the moil or the sandik by a bris. What should he expect? What should he get? What should he take? Moil or sandik? So he says that a moil is considered much more than the sandik. And therefore, if he could be the moil, he should preferably take that. But the question is, that Ramah in Yerideya Simarei Samachay Sefir Aleph Paskins, that on the day of a bris, and the moil and the sandik both can't have an aliyah because there's only one kohen, or if they're both kahanim or both yisraelim, we give it to the sandik. Isn't that a proof that the sandik is a more important mitzvah? We're giving it to the sandik, not to the moil. So the explanation is just the opposite. The moil is considered more important than the sandik. And because the moil is considered more important than the sandik, we want to compensate him. And the way we compensate him is by giving him the liyah. In fact, there's a very interesting psak from the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says that on a day that when we have the moil, sandik, and kvater, kvater is the one that brings the baby into the room by the bris, the kvater should get the aliyah. Kvater is certainly less of a kibud than these other kibudim. Why does the kvater get it? Because the explanation is, like we're learning in our Mishnah, it's a compensation. And since it's a compensation, that's why he who got the smallest kibud deserves the greatest compensation. Tanan, ask the Gemara, we learned in our Mishnah, Tanan, v'maya, cotton, if the one that got mafter was a cotton, aviv of rabbi, ovim al yodai, his father or his rebbe do it in his place. So says the Gemara, yeah, mishum netziya, if the concern is that they going to have a dispute with about tefillah, cotton, but netziya hu, is there going to be an argument between the godlos or shlich tzibur who can't daven and the cotton who can't daven? Elamai, mishum kovid. So what are you going to say? Isn't this a proof that the reason that the Baal Mafter gets these kibudim is because of kovid? So ask the Gemara, and that's the case. Cotton by kovid who? Ella, ikka kovid aviv, the kovid rabbi. When we speak about the child, we're not talking about his kovid, we're talking about the kovid of his father and his rebbe. Says the Gemara, similarly here, hachanami ikka netzuya aviv and netzuya rabbi, we're worried that the father or the rebbe will get into a dispute. But here we see that the cotton gets mafter, a cotton may get mafter. Of course, he can't be the shlich tzibur. So I saw a very interesting question was asked to Rebbe Yoshev. If a shul has two boys who are being bar mitzvah the same week, so they have to make a geirul. The halacha discusses we have to make a geirul. Who should get mafter? Because there's only one person who could get mafter. So Rebbe Yoshev was asked a question. There was a shul where there were two boys being bar mitzvah, the same Shabbos. One boy, his father notified the shul, notified the gabayim many months in advance. The other, bar mitzvah bacher, the father of the boy only notified the gabayim of the shul erev Shabbos. And we're speaking about a situation where both of these families are regular mispalalim, are members of the shul. So the one who notified the gabayim many months in advance said, I notified the gabayim all these months in advance, and this person who came the last moment should not get a fair, should not get an opportunity. It should certainly be my son's. And the other one, and the other one said, no, it doesn't make a difference when I notified. The halacha shouldn't change. And they asked Rabbi Yashiv, what is the halacha? And Rabbi Yashiv said that both boys are treated the same. And they asked him why. This father was irresponsible by only notifying the shul in the last minute. And the other father acted in a very responsible manner by letting the shul know so many months in advance. So Rabbi Yashiv said that's absolutely correct. But the father... But that has nothing to do with the son. The son, whose father did not notify the shul until the last moment, because he has a father who's irresponsible, he should not have to suffer. And therefore, the halacha is they're both treated the same way. And whatever the halacha tells us to do in such a situation should be done in that situation. Says the Mishnah Pecheach, somebody who is walking barefoot, Pirates al Shema. Do we say that a godel is not allowed to do so because it's a question of erva? And by a godel there is an erva, but a cotton that doesn't have this consideration, we don't have to be machmer, or it's not covered at Torah that somebody who's a pecheach should be the one that reads from the Torah. Amalei, so Abaye said, if that's the way you're understanding the question, so with the Bailach Orem, why don't you ask about somebody who's not wearing any clothing? Because it's obvious, my tam or my tamaloi, why didn't you ask a question about somebody who's not wearing clothing? Because there clearly there's a concern of Kavarat Tzibur. Hachinami, similarly here, even though he's a cotton, there's a concern of Kavarat Tzibur, and it doesn't make a difference if Pecheach cannot be allowed to read from the Torah. We learned in the Mishnah, Suma Pirus al Shema. Tanya Amalai Rabbi Yehuda, the Chacham said to Rabbi Yehuda, Habit Tzofa Lidrish B'Makava, there are many that try to understand the Mas Makava, V'lai Roi Sumayim, they never saw the Makava. So sell to a person who's a Suma should be allowed to be Pirus al Shema, even though he didn't see the Ma'iris, you could still understand the Ma'iris. Rabbi Yehuda, and has Rabbi Yehuda defend himself, Hasam bevatat libatay milsa. There it depends on if you understand something. So even though he never saw somebody didn't see the Ma'is Makava, he could study it and understand it. Hacham shemanahu. The bracha of Yotza Ma'iris is because of Anah, and Vaha, somebody who never saw Leslie Hanah, never had that Hanah. Dar Zeruah says that even though we're paskening that Rabbanon, before we go further, let's just learn the Gemara, Rabbanon, Islay Hanah, a Suma does have Hanah. Why? Says the Gemara, to Rabbi Yossi, the Tanya Amar Rabbi Yossi, call you on my Mitzdar, Amikra Zeh. I always didn't understand the Pasuk, the Tachacha says that we'll be like a blind person in the dark. So the question, of course, is, a blind person, there's no difference to him if it's light or dark. Until I understood the difference. He was blind, and I was once walking in a place at night which was dark. He was walking in a place which was dark. And I saw a blind person holding a torch. Why are you holding a torch? You are blind. As long as I'm holding the torch, Other people who can't see Baruch Hashem prevent me from stumbling. So even a blind person has hana from the light. And that's why the halacha is, the Oz Ruah says, that a suma can make the bracha Bayer Meira Eish Motzei Shabbos. Even though he can't see, the halacha, that others, the fact that others can see helps him, and he's allowed to make that bracha. The Shulchan Aruch disagrees. The Shulchan Aruch says, somebody who can't see can't make a Bayer Meira Eish. That similar question regarding Birchas Levana, Kiddush Levana. The Marshal says that a blind person could say Kiddush Levana. Rabbi Kiva Eger says that a blind person cannot say Kiddush Levana. Similar question. The bracha that we say every morning in the Birchas HaShachar, Pekeach Ivrim. Almost everybody agrees that he could say Pekeach Ivrim. Because the bracha Pekeach Ivrim is not that I could see. The bracha Pekeach Ivrim is that everybody could see, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created that people should be able to see. And that is the fact, even if this person cannot see. The Sefer Makor Mayim Chayim explains this Gemara when it speaks about the Summa, is that the Summa is a person who can't learn himself, who doesn't learn himself, that doesn't is not Zoicha to the Orat Torah. But he's a person who supports those who learn Torah. And by supporting people who learn Torah, even though you're not learning yourself, you bring the light of Torah to the world. And by bringing the light of Torah to the world, even though you yourself did not learn, you benefit from it. Says the Mishnah, Kohen Sheyesh Beyadav Mumin. If you have a Kohen who has in his hands different wounds, Layer says Kapov, he shouldn't be the one to do Nesis Kapayim. Rabbi Yudaima, Af Misha Yadav Tzvus Bestis. Somebody whose hands are dyed red because of the paint that he works with, Layer says Kapov. And the reason is, because everybody looks at him, and because since everybody looks at his hands, they don't have the proper kavana. They don't have the proper kavana by Nesis Kapayim. However, the Gemara in Masechta Chagiga gives a different reason, and that is because the Shechina is on the hands of the Kohanim, and we don't want people to look at the Kohanim's hands. So what's the reason? So the Tosfos Rosh explains that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim would duchen and they would say the Shema Mefirish. And when they said the Shema Mefirish, that's when the Shechina was there, and that's why one is not supposed to look. But Zman HaZeh, we don't have Kohanim saying the Shema Mefirish, so therefore the concern that the Shechina is there doesn't exist. We have the concern that we're learning in our Gemara. Says the Shulchan Aruch that if we live in a place that the Kohanim cover their hands with the talis when they say Birchas Kohanim, then we don't have a problem, because if nobody's going to see the disformity or the color of his hand. But says the Beis Yosef, that's only in a situation where all the Kohanim cover their hands. So nobody's looking at the Kohanim's hands. They're not visible. They're covered by a talus. But if you are in a place where the Kohanim don't cover their hands, and you want a duchen, and you want to avoid people looking at you by covering your hands, it wouldn't work. It wouldn't work because people are going to look at you because you're doing something unusual, that you're covering your hands in a place where nobody else covers their hands. Tana, says the Braisa, Mumin Chamru, the Mumin that we're discussing here, Bafana, Biyadav, Ubaraglav, on his face, his hands, on his feet, that any of these places are visible, and since they're visible, then people are going to look. And as Rashi explains, the Gemara Masechta Soita, Daf Mem Amar Aleph, teaches us that a Kohen has to take off his shoes when he duchens. The reason he has to take off his shoes when he duchens is because we're concerned that his shoelace may tear, and he'll bend down to tie his shoelace and not duchen, and people will start questioning if he truly is a Kohen. But so they take off the shoes, and if there's something on his foot that will cause people to look at his foot, then we can't let him duchen because they won't pay attention to the duchening. Amar Rav Shimon Levi, Yod Bekanius, if a kohen has white spots on his hand, lo yisus kapov. Tanya mehochi, Yod Bekanius, lo yisus kapov. Akumais, if his hands are bent, akushus, they're slanty. Again, these are all deformities that people will look at, and therefore lo yisus kapov. Amar Ravasi, chafni ubeshoni, lo yisus kapov. Because they don't speak clearly, the halacha is that we can't let them duchen. Tanya na mehochi, ein maridin lefnei ateva, lo yanchi beishan, v'lo yanchi beischefa, v'lo yanchi tivonim, it's a name of a place, ne shikorin alfen ayin la ayin alfen. So the Pasha Peshat is that they don't pronounce the words properly. But the Rishonim explain that they knew how to pronounce the difference between an aleph and an ayin. Yo'er, we say in Birchus Kahanim, is an aleph, which represents a bracha. Your air represents a klola. And therefore, since it represents a klola, we can't let them duchen. The Birka Yosef has a question. He says, if you have a person that can't speak clearly, but if he puts an effort, then he will be able to speak clearly. Can we allow him to be the shlich tzibur? Can we allow him to be the kind that duchens? He says that no. That if it takes effort, we have to be concerned that he won't be able to remember to do it all the time. And the concern that our Gemara just mentioned will therefore be relevant, and we can't let him be the Kayin to Duchen. Amalei Rav Chiel of Shimon ben Yabi. Amalei Ata Levi, if you were a Levi, Pasla Ata and Duchen. Bishum de Ka'avi Kailach. You have a very thick voice, which is not similar to all the other voices of the Levium, and therefore you disqualify from singing. Also, Amalei Levua, Amalei Zil, Amalei Kishta, Megia Eitzel, V'chikisi Loi, Loi Nimtzis Mechar V'megadif, because the Pasuk says V'chikisi, which means that we hope for Hashem, but he couldn't pronounce that properly, and he used to say V'chikisi, as if Chas V'sholem, he's hitting Hashem, and therefore he shouldn't be the Baal Tefillah either. Amar Avuna Zavgan, somebody whose eyes are constantly tearing, lo yisus kapov. Again, because people are always looking at him. Ask the Gemara, v'huda have b'shavusa de Rav Huna. Wasn't there such an individual who lived in Rav Huna, v'have paris yodei, and they let him lead the duchening? Who says the Gemara, dosh b'ira have. He was an individual that everybody knew. And tanya nami hochi, v'ba'al zalgan lo yisus kapov, v'midosh b'ira, if everybody knows him, mutter. So the Truma Sedeshin says that the shear of Dosh B'iroi is 30 days. But says the Truma Sedeshin, it has to be that you're in the town 30 days and you intend to remain in the city. But if you don't intend to remain in the city, then you can't, then even though you come there often, you're not considered Dosh B'iroi. If somebody is blind, that in one eye, lo yisus kapov. Again, because people look at him and don't pay attention. Ask the Gemara, who David b'shavus and Rabbi Yochanan David paris yodei. Says the Gemara, who dosh b'ira hava. Everybody knew him, so they didn't look at him. Tanya nami hachi, suma ba'achs b'enov lo yisus kapov, v'imidosh b'iroi mutter. So I saw that the B'ir Halacha says that suma ba'achs b'enov, that's only if it's noticeable that he's blind. But if he's not noticeable that he's blind, he has regular eyes, he unfortunately can't say, he can't see, he could duchen, that's not considered a suma. If you have a Misha, the tzvus, somebody whose hands are painted, lo yisus kapov, Tanya, however, the Brisa says, Amroiv anchi'ir malach b'kach, if everybody in the city is like that, so it's not anything unusual, mutter. Says the Mishnah, I'm even a fnei teva, if somebody says, I won't beat about tefillah, b'tzvun, with colored clothing, that's considered that there's a concern that he's a min. Because as Rashi explains, that the minim, the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, were the people that were careful that they only wore certain types of clothing. And this person who's doing this way, who's acting this way, we need to be concerned as an apikiris, and we can't let him be the Baal Tefillah. Ha'isa Tefillah Sa'agula. If somebody makes his tefillin round, sakana. it's considered a tzakana. Vein bar mitzvah, and he doesn't get the mitzvah of hanachas tefillah. Nosna mitzchay, he puts the tefillin on his forehead, not on his head. Oya pas yodai, or he put it on his palm, hareza derech minas. Sipon zov, if he covered the tefillin by gold, the nosna beis inkashaloi, or he put the tefillin on his sleeve, hareza derech chitzayim. So our Mishnah just spoke about a number of halachas. So I saw the Mishnah says nizruka b'minus. What is a nizruka b'minus? So they explain when somebody gets a vaccination, they just give them a little amount, but that little amount helps the entire person. Here too, when somebody just begins to get involved with apicursis, it's like a small injection that can affect the entire person. Rav El Yochai Meisel was the love of Lodz. And he was an old man, he was already 92 years old. And they came to report to him that there was a person, a Jewish person in town, who was selling non-kosher meat. So he said, we have to stop him. So all the people, the members of this town, told him that this butcher is a very strong individual. He's an individual that you don't want to start up with. Rav El Yochai Meisel, an old man, went to the store, took gasoline, and poured it on the meat to make it non-edible. And the butcher started screaming at him, "How dare you?" And Rav El Yochai Meisel answered, "I am the Rav of this town, and I'm doing what the Torah requires that I do." So the people from the town asked the Rav, "How did you take it upon yourself to do something like that? Why weren't you scared that this person, who was obviously a strong, powerful person, would take revenge at you?" So he says, "I learned the Mishnah that we just learned. The Mishnah says, Ha'isa tefilasa agula. If somebody makes his tefillin round, what does that mean?" So he said, what it means is somebody starts taking shortcuts. He isn't straight and he isn't strong in his conviction when it comes to Avodas Hashem. Hareza derech chitzayim. A Rav, a Talmud Chacham, is obligated to do what he has to do, even if it represents that it could be dangerous for him. So we learned in our Mishnah that somebody who refuses to go to the Teva unless he's wearing certain clothing, we don't let him go. My Tama, because we learned Chashin Hashem Minas Nizrugaba. Ha'isa tefilas agula, sakana ve'en ba'mitzah. Le'ma tanil ha'ad ton rabbanon, tefilin rubas, halach l'mash m'sinai. That the tefillin have to be a square is a loch l'mash m'sinai, v'amarava, but tafron. When you sew the tefillin, you have to make sure that you don't stretch them. Or belachsoinam, then not only do they have to be square on the sides, but in the diagonal as well. Amarava, masnis inavid kamguza. And maybe they don't have to be such a perfect square. The issue that's being discussed in our Mishnah is when the tefillin is round like a nut. Round like a nut, everybody will agree the tefillin apostle.